Hi, this is Carolyn, and I'm here with Aaron, and we are so excited to have Angela with us tonight. Angela played basketball at Vanderbilt, and I am so jealous because she was even offered to play in the WNBA. Is that right?
Or when, like, the inaugural year of the league, to sit on the bench, but I turned that down to go make money as an engineer instead. But so I still love to play.
Yeah, so she's a ridiculous basketball player. I actually met her at pickup women's basketball at the YMCA. Everybody wanted to be on her team because if you were on Angela's team, you would win. And Aaron, you knew her before this too. How'd you know her?
Our daughters play volleyball together, or played volleyball together a couple years ago, and have stayed really good friends. And it was funny because somehow we made the connection that we both knew her separately.
Yes.
You from basketball, me from volleyball, not even through tennis, which is interesting. Because now here we are all playing tennis.
Yes. And now, so Angela's playing tennis now. Can you tell us a little bit about the adjustment from basketball to tennis for you?
Sure. I think I should also say that, like, I'm 6'6", and that's why I was really good at basketball.
Ridiculously good at basketball.
Which is why she's going to be a future partner in tennis, because we're going to stick with the net.
Yes. Could you imagine walking up? I mean, just the...
Her wingspan.
Yeah. My standing reach is 8'6". You put a racket on there and I'm hard to lob over, I think. So,
exactly. So we both want you as our partner. This is really to get you to become our doubles partner.
Right. That's why we asked you here today.
Well, I'm just like a big fangirl of the podcast and just in tennis. Oh, like, I've watched several friends climb up the USTA ladder and just how much fun they've had. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of encouragement to come out and play. And I can also see that, you know, it's a lifetime sport. And so I'm just all in. But with the basketball, as I've started to take lessons the last few years, like, I could tell I have this problem where I don't watch the ball. And Carolyn, I don't know, you, like, when we're taught to shoot basketball, your eyes are on the rim.
Right.
I never actually watch the ball go to the rim. And so I find myself always looking down the court. So, mm-hmm, I got to, like, talk to myself, okay, watch the ball.
And it's so much smaller too. So you really do have to watch it.
Yes.
Right?
And it takes spinning.
Yeah, it's very different. But definitely, like, the footwork and the little attention to detail that you have in all sports, really, to be successful, like, that kind of goes over. So I love it when a coach says, all right, you need to put your foot this way or that way. You know, like, those little things really helps. But as a fangirl, like, I've, like, had these, and I have to admit, like, I'm the kind of person that wants to be good at something before I start.
Yes.
So I've, like, devoured all of your podcasts. Yay. And I've, like, you know, learned a lot from you guys. So thank you for that. But I had, like, a few more questions that I, you know, hope to get some answers for, because I know there's a lot of newbies that are also learning.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's, like, volleyball related that I'll shoot over to Aaron, because we're volleyball moms together. So when we watch volleyball, like, if the ball looks like it's going out of bounds, like, the team or even the parents might yell out.
Yeah, everyone shouts.
Out! Don't. Yeah, so you don't want the girls to hit it. And so I find myself on the court when my partner, like, is maybe going for a ball that's going out. I want to yell out. But then that seems like that's breaking the rules, because the other team may be thinking, or other partners, what other doubles might be thinking, that I'm calling it before it even hit the ground.
Right.
So I don't want to break the protocols.
Yeah.
So what do you guys yell when the ball's starting to go out?
Yeah, that's a good question. People actually get upset if you yell. If you make any call at all before the ball has clearly landed, people get really upset about that.
Yes.
A little uptight sometimes. we've done stuff like watch it.
Yes, right? I normally say watch it. What do you say?
I think I just say watch. But I do say, I don't actually make a call, but sometimes either myself or someone that I'm playing with will say no, like, basically don't touch the ball, you know, but you can't say out unless you actually see it out. So a lot of times it'll just be like, either watch it or, you know, no, or I guess we've kind of quietly said out without saying
the word out.
Yes.
Because, so any other word except out.
Because they can call a hindrance on you, right?
Yeah.
I think. Or they can just get upset. Especially, even if the ball lands in, if you've said out because you think it's going to fly, and the ball lands in and you continue to play it, it will usually mess someone on the other side up. And so they could call a hindrance easily. So, yeah, it has to be anything other than out,
I guess. Than the word out. Watch I use it. Watch it.
Watch
yeah,
it.
Watch it. And a lot of times people say that and the ball still lands in and then you still continue to play. But as long as you haven't said that word, I guess, out, then you can. Because a lot of times people say, watch it. And then it's like 3 feet in and then you got to just keep playing. Like a good topspin ball or something is going to land in a lot of times. So.
Yeah.
That is a good question, though. And that is kind of funny because, like, you think it's going out, but you're not allowed to say out.
And here's the thing. In volleyball, like, literally everyone will scream. You're right. Parents, coaches, girls on the court. And half the time, you know, sometimes they'll let it land and maybe it was like way in, but everybody goes, oh, well, we thought it was going to be out.
Yeah.
It'll land right between someone. Yeah.
You don't want to be the one
that has shouted it.
Yeah. Well, I know like in basketball, there's some like unspoken rules. So if, especially like Carolyn and I would be playing pickup and maybe she's out warming up before the game starts and she's shooting 3-pointers and I'm under the basket. When she makes it, it would be rude for me to take the ball out of the net and go do my warm up.
Oh yeah, that's right. It would be.
Yeah. Yes. So like there's just this unspoken thing that as long as you're making shots, I should give the ball back to you and you can keep warming up. And then when you miss, it's my
turn. So
you know, and I don't know where that came from, but like I learned it as a little kid.
Yes.
So I was wondering, I feel like there's a lot of unspoken protocols and things in tennis. And so I don't know if you guys can share any of those that come to mind, or even if it's just like, how do you warm up in tennis?
Yes, warm up. There are unspoken. I was playing this morning knowing that we were going to record today and I was playing against our friend Teresa and I was thinking, this is weird. Like who came up with this rule or not rule, but like idea of this is the way to warm up. But I did think about something and I told Carolyn, I could actually Google it and find out, but it's more interesting just to like throw out our own theories.
Again, we are not experts.
Right.
As you can tell.
Yeah. That's the whole point of our podcast is it's really just our opinions. But, and there's tons of other podcasts with actual like pros that know everything.
But no, this is what we think.
But I think someone came up with it at the beginning of time because it's really about hand-eye coordination, right? So you start up close. We call it baby tennis. I don't know. I'm sure not everybody calls it that, but you know, and you just kind of hit the ball back and forth.
Like at the service line.
At the service line. Yeah. So like, yeah, start up close to the net and just hit it over. I've actually taken clinics from a pro who likes to warm up that way, but does not let the ball hit the ground. So you're literally just volleying.
Oh, interesting.
And it's a really good way to warm up because it really gets your feet moving. Because I don't think baby tennis, you can kind of like not move and sort of hit the ball. But when you're volleying, you really do have to move a little bit more. So I think part of it's that. Then the next step, it seems to be like, you know, you do a few minutes up at the net. And then you're like, are you done? Are we done with this?
Yes.
Let's move back and do ground strokes, right?
Yes.
Then you hit a couple serves and then, you know, whatever. Now that part of it, hitting baseline shots and then serves, and I guess maybe some volleys and some overheads or whatever, that is sort of, I'm sure, a plan of warm up because all the pros even do that. They don't do baby tennis.
Interesting. They don't.
I've never seen. No, no, no. They always start at the baseline.
Interesting.
But they're pros and they've already warmed up with their team all morning.
Oh, okay.
So they don't need to do that. So they start right away baseline and they only have 5 minutes. Just like if we go to states,
you only
have a 5 minute warm up. So it's hit from the baseline. One person comes up, right?
You take volleys.
Yeah, and takes volleys. Then they take a few overheads. Then they move back. The other person does that. Hit a few serves.
Yes.
Each. And then start.
And then you start.
Yeah. In USTA matches, though, do you want to talk about like 15 to 30 minute warm up sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
We're not usually that rushed.
Yeah.
For USTA matches.
Yeah. And I hate when there's long warm ups. Like you've already warmed up with your team.
Yes.
And then you meet the person you're going to play. And then they're like,
let's hit the fuzz off the ball.
They always say
that. Yeah.
They always want to warm up more. And then you go through the same process over again. But sometimes, I mean, it's amazing how long people want to warm up.
Yeah.
And I'm just someone that likes a short warm-up, especially if I'm playing singles.
I'm going
to be out there all day for hours. I want the warm-up to be quick.
Yeah.
But it's a weird process.
It is. It's strange. Yeah. I agree. But yeah, there is a little bit of difference between like warming up for UST matches where you get 15, 20, 30 minutes as opposed to like
states
where it's literally 5 minutes. You get assigned to your court. They say, here's your balls. Go out to your court. You have a 5 minute warm up. And they literally walk around and say, all right, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever. But there is that weird unspoken, like, let's start close at the net and then let's move back. And some of it makes sense, but a lot of it doesn't. I think it's just what people have done over the years, you know?
Yeah.
When you play quads, do you do that?
We start with the baby tennis.
And you just wondered why you were doing it?
it's I would just do what everyone else was doing. I'm trying to fit in.
Yes. And there are, I think there's a lot in tennis that's just kind of weird. Like, even the scoring in tennis doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, yeah. So let me ask this. Some people say 5 and some say 15. Yeah. Which one am I supposed to say to sound cool, like I know what I'm doing?
What do you say, Aaron?
I was going to say, do you want me to take that? Because I'll tell you what, when I started, I didn't really know how to score, but I knew if you were a tennis player, you scored it love 15, 30, 40, right? And then deuce and add and all that stuff. But when I started playing, people were saying 5, 3.
Yes.
5 for 15, 3 for 30. What do you say for 4? Nobody says 4. I guess you just say
But I said 40, 30.
Yeah, or 4-3. I guess you do say a 4. And I wondered the same thing. I'm like, what are these? It's already confusing enough, and now they've changed it to something else. Yes. I think it was just, I don't want to say out of laziness, or it's like texting nowadays. You know how sometimes you text R-U, like the letter R, the letter
yes,
U,
yes.
on your way or whatever? Like, I feel like it's kind of become that. And so what I do, this is really funny. Sometimes out, depending on who I'm playing, like if I'm playing someone that I feel like has played forever, like just out of respect, I say it correctly.
Really?
If it's like more like a millennial, I'll say 4-3 or 5-3 or whatever the score is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I do both. I do both as well. And I was thinking about it. I call 5 love, but then I'll say 30-15. So
just to confuse someone.
I just didn't realize that I'd do both.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I never thought about it until you asked that question. That I do both.
I mix it up too based on superstition. Just because I'm superstitious about sports, right?
You are.
So sometimes she knows. Like, I make everybody sit in the same seat at volleyball. Like, if they've won a set, I'm like, nobody move, you know. But sometimes I do. Like, if I'm winning a game and I've called it, you know, 15, if I've called it the traditional way of, like, correctly saying the full 15 or 30 or 40, and I'm winning, then I'll just keep doing it that way. If I don't, I might switch it up and say, you know what? Now it's 5-3 instead of 15-30.
And I've even never even noticed what people have called.
I've never even
noticed it. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
That you did.
I noticed it when I early on. I was like, what are these people doing? It's already confusing enough. Now I have to learn more numbers.
Like, the number's 15. It's not 5.
Yeah. But good question.
That is a good question. I never thought of before.
I think it's just a new age. I don't know.
Okay.
Somebody.
All right. So if I say 15, everybody's going to think I'm old, possibly.
That's right.
Okay. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. That's good.
Thanks very much to Angela for being on the podcast. We actually have a part 2 to this episode because Angela had so many great questions. If you would like to see a picture of Angela and her incredible wingspan, please check out our website, which is secondservepodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening, and hope to see you on the courts soon.